Well, it is great to be with you guys. I have actually not had many opportunities to visit some of the other Forge churches, so this is a fantastic opportunity to actually get to see and meet some of the other churches in our church network. So thank you for having me. Again, I bring a lot of greetings from the south. You guys are considered north as far as Fareham are concerned. But yes, I grew up in Fareham. It was my home church from about when I was about 8 years old. Met my wife through the church. We got married in the church. We went away. After we finished Bible college, I had a job as a youth worker. Never ever thought I'd be drawn back to Fareham. I thought, I'm done with the place, washed my hands of it, went on my way. And God had a funny sense of humor in bringing me back. And here we are. I actually, both Gabby and I do that job part-time. I have another job as well. I'm a plumber and a carpenter, which is often a surprise to people then when I talk to them about the church side of stuff, when I'm in people's homes and they kind of don't expect it and then just want me to leave. But most of the time, you know, yeah, it is a real blessing. I'd understand you guys have been looking at this whole topic of spiritual formation and as we develop in our spiritual gifts and what that kind of looks like. And for me, when I was reflecting back on that, really those things are really great and really important when it comes to our discipleship journey. Those things like prayer, fasting, generosity, the Bible and how we engage with the God's word are foundational to growing as a Christian and living a fruitful Christian life. But there's something that underpins our ability to do that properly and to do that effectively. And for me, I think that's our identity. It's knowing who we are in Christ in context of what Scripture says, in context of prayer and generosity and fasting and all of these spiritual gifts. Understanding who we are is incredibly important. When I look at Jesus' ministry, a lot of what he did, he actually invested time in establishing a sense of identity in the people he engaged with. Even right from the beginning when he recruited, if you like, the disciples, he says, no longer will you be fishermen, but you will be fishers of men. A really clever play on words, but a way of Jesus saying, your purpose and your identity doesn't just sit with what you do 9 to 5. You aren't just fishermen, but in encountering me, it's going to open up this whole sense of purpose for you, a new lease of life for you, a new sense of identity and purpose that comes through knowing Christ. And the disciples entered a way of living that was completely different than I think the life they'd been living as humble fishermen. He did that too with Simon, where he encounters one of his disciples, Simon, and then renames him Peter, gives him a new identity as the rock in which Christ would build his church. And so I think we need to go through a process as human beings of reestablishing who we are in Christ, so that we can step into all that God has for us. The disciples did it. Simon, Peter did it. But there's a character in the Bible I want to look at, and that is Jacob. I love some of the Old Testament stories, and I know a lot of in our church tradition, in the more charismatic churches, we tend to go straight to the New Testament for a lot of stuff. But actually, some of the stories in the Old Testament are incredibly powerful in what they have to teach us. And I wanted to look at Genesis 32. Looking at the life of Jacob. Now, before we read this passage of scripture that I want us to look at, couple of things to mention about Jacob. How many of you are familiar with the guy in the Bible called Jacob? Yeah? Great. He wasn't the guy that made crackers. He is actually a quite a significant figure in the story, in the history of the Israelites. Now, Jacob actually started life on a bit of a back foot. In fact, he started life as being labeled a bit of a liar and a deceiver his whole way through his life. And he started life even coming out, he's another ginger, but from what Bible says. But I am drawn to the person of Jacob, partly because I think there's a lot we can learn from him. But he started life being labeled a deceiver, a liar, always striving after someone else, always striving after what other people had. And it left him in living a life full of struggle and deception. Think about the story in Jacob's life where his father was going to give his blessing to his brother Esau. And in fact, this shows how blind his father was, because he put on this cloak of fur, covered his face to appear as though he was his brother and stole that blessing from his brother Esau. He was so desperate to be anybody other than who he was. And all it did was get him in a lifetime worth of trouble. The funny thing is when we think about right from the beginning, even Jacob's name, a lot of the Jewish culture was to name a place or a person over the purpose in which you saw that being. So like we see a lot of places being named after what happened there. We see people being named after, the destiny placed before them. But it's a reminder to us really about the labels that we stick on things. The labels that perhaps you've been told about yourself right from the very early days of your childhood. Maybe it's us who are parents have to think about the labels we then say to our children and the things we repeatedly tell them in the way that that's then going to shape who they end up becoming. Those labels that are all external start becoming internal things that we believe about ourselves. And that was certainly true for Jacob. He lived a life on the run, struggling after struggle after struggle, looking for the next best thing, trying to find some sort of satisfaction and purpose. And he lived his life wearing a mask. And then we find ourselves in Genesis 32, verses 22. And it will be on the screen. I know that's very small, but if you have your old school and you have got a Bible with you, or you have a smartphone, there's not many excuses. But I'm just going to read from Genesis 32, verse 22. Now, some context. Jacob is on the run. He's running away. He's had another failed relationship, another failed opportunity. He's on the run. And what happens is, it says this: that night, Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons, 11 kids. I mean, no wonder life was tough. His 11 sons, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent all of his possessions. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overcome him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip, so that his hip was wrenched, and he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." But Jacob replied, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." The man asked him, "What is your name?" "Jacob," he answered. Then the man said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome." Jacob said, "Please tell me your name." But he replied, "Why do you ask my name?" Then he blessed him there. So Jacob called his place Peniel, saying, "It is because I saw God's face to face, and yet my life was spared." Quite a remarkable encounter between Jacob and this person that's referred to as man, who the common thought is that was God. So Jacob wrestling with God. And he starts this place having sent all of his possessions across a river. His family, his wealth. You see, Jacob, although he was a struggler and a liar and a deceiver, had actually had quite a successful life. For most Israelites, to have had servants and livestock and have wives and lots of children was a sign of success. It was a sign of wealth. It was a sign of, I've done a good thing, but something within Jacob was still not satisfied. And so he was left alone, completely alone. Now, thinking about Jacob, how he got those things was through deception and lying and cheating and stealing, trying to strive after everything other than what was given to him and trying to be someone he wasn't. He was kind of left in this, not only a physical state of being alone, but suddenly all the masks were off. All of the stuff he had accumulated, everything that he thought was going to bring him satisfaction in his life was gone. And at that moment, God comes in and wrestles with him. Now, there is so much we can take from this, and I don't want to take up your whole bank holiday. So I'm just going to highlight a few that really stick out to me in the context of understanding our identity. See, this man wrestles with Jacob. And it says here, right? In verse 25, when the man saw that he could not overpower him. Interesting. when we think about this in context of Jacob, a man wrestling God, and this person Jacob's wrestling with says, I can't overpower him, what does that say? Does that say God's not powerful enough to overcome our struggles? No. But sometimes we don't let him. I think for Jacob here, this wasn't about his personal strength, but it was about the strength of a lack of identity. It was about a strength in him that overpowered him. These walls he had up were so strong over years and years and years that he got to this place of being left alone. You see, he was on the run for like 21 years. Right from the very moment he left his father's house, 21 years of build-up, of baggage, of struggle. And I don't know about you, but life has its habit of battering you around. Everybody's having a tough time. Everybody's struggling with stuff. Whether it be finances, relationships, health, whatever, mental health. It can build up a huge amount of stuff within us that can get in the way of us even going to God in the first place. It can get in the way of God's ability to work in our lives. And in this moment, Jacob sorted that out. But you see, he was in a place of struggle. He was battling as he always did. It was his second nature to battle. Interesting, the man asked Jacob what his name is. And Jacob actually answers this time with the truth. When the man asked him, what is your name? He says, Jacob, he answers. And it wasn't just him literally saying, my name's Jacob. I think God knows what his name is. But it was almost a self-proclamation of his life. Everything that came with the title Jacob. Yeah, it was almost like a moment of confession. Yeah, I've messed up. I am a liar. I'm a deceiver. And it was in that moment then that God blesses him. You see, Jacob struggled and said, I'm not going to let you go till you bless me. And it was the first time in Jacob's life he fought for something real. It was the first time in his life he fought for something that's really going to make a difference in his life. And so God blesses him as Jacob. And as God, as does in other parts of Scripture, gives him a new name, calls him Israel. Almost like he has to say, like, you are not that man anymore. You are not Jacob. You are a new man. Crazy. I, in my life, have experienced very similar things to this. I think as a child growing up, I used to be quite badly bullied. Although I talk about that, well, you know, that's something I'd happened as a child. Those things have a way of shaping your identity and who you see yourself as. Those labels we talk about, those labels you start to embody, you start to become. And I don't know about you, many of you are nodding, and I think it's because all of us as human beings at one point or another have suffered from something like that in our lives. Suffered from this identity crisis in ourselves where we're wrestling with who we really are, who God made us to be, and the person we think society expects us to be. And for Jacob, embracing that moment of being real with God allowed that to be released. Now, my Christian upbringing in church led me to believe, not through anybody else's fault, but my own conclusions, that I can't be honest with God. Particularly as a Christian leader, I can't have problems. I'm supposed to be the one helping people. I'm supposed to be the one encouraging people. I can't have a bad day. And the problem is, I do what Jacob did, and I put on a mask, and you pretend to be someone that you're not, and when you're having a bad day, you think, not only can I not talk to other people, I don't think God needs to hear that either, because he probably won't want to use me. Yeah? And do you know where I found the most amount of release in my Christian journey was when I actually just embraced how I really felt. When I finally went to God and was like, embrace the truth of the gospel that says, no matter what I'm going through, no matter how I'm feeling, you're going to love me. No matter what I've done, whether I've messed up, you're going to love me. And you come to God bearing yourself, just as Jacob did when he said to God as he was wrestling, he said, I'm not going to let you go. Well, tell me what your name is then. Be honest with me with where you're at. Bear your truth before me. Confess what you need to confess.
And Jacob did by saying, I'm Jacob. I'm the deceiver. I'm the liar. I've cheated people. I stole my brother's inheritance. This is who I am. What was God's response? Not condemnation. Not, all right, let's give you a real kicking. He blessed him. It was the end of the fight. And I think all of us need to embrace that attitude of being honest with ourselves and being honest with God. There should be no expectation in church for you to be your best every day. There should be no expectation for you to always come in with a smile. When people ask you how your day was, I get, fine, yeah, great. And that's as far as the conversation goes. There was one time I was in church and I spoke to one of the people in our congregation. I said, oh, how are you doing? And they said, oh, I'm not great. And I really didn't know what to do. It's like I was so used to doing this. Yeah, fine, cheers, bye, yeah, next person. And they actually were honest with me, but how refreshing. And if we can learn to do that in our relationship with God, what happens is our relationship with God doesn't become something superficial. It becomes real and intimate. It becomes a real relationship like God intended it to be. See, he was renamed. And the fruit of all of this wasn't just Jacob getting a blessing. This wasn't just Jacob suddenly feeling unburdened and like I've actually been honest with someone. There's restoration that comes. There's fruit that comes out of this because he reconciles with his brother Esau. In chapter 33, Jacob looks up and there was Esau. Now, the whole time Jacob was on the run from Esau, because Esau was a big bloke, just like me. A really tall, burly man. He was a big bloke and Jacob was scared. And then suddenly, he sees Esau with 400 men, right? Jacob was alone. And in verse 4 it says, but Esau ran to meet Jacob and embraced him. He threw his arms around him, around his neck and kissed him. Didn't throw his arms around his neck and you know what happens with the rest of that. He embraced him as a brother. Suddenly, Jacob's sense of understanding who he was in context of who God was just brought around a fruitfulness in his life, a restoration to things. And look, I'm not pretending to know about your difficulties or your struggles, and I understand life has its ups and downs. I know that even as a church, you can go through ups and downs and seasons of trials. Our church has come out of one, and I understand as a church, you guys have had one. But the thing is, God has an ability to restore us, to build us up, to reconcile us to himself. But it takes some wrestling sometimes. It takes some working things out. There's an amazing thing that happens after this in the book of Exodus as God speaks to Moses through the burning bush. He identifies himself as the God of, does anybody know? God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It happens in chapter 3, verse 6. And that's a huge, huge statement God is making. Now, you might be thinking, this guy, what is he trying to make a point out of nothing here? But the reality is that God, by God declaring to Moses in this new season of the people of God, says, I am the God of Abraham, I am the God of Isaac, and I am God of Jacob. Now, Abraham, I get. That makes a lot of sense. Abraham is a man of faith, a symbol of faith. The father, you know that father Abraham, many sons, yeah? He's a big deal. Abraham's a big deal. If God was going to show his best in this moment of trying to convince Moses, I need you to do something for me, Abraham's the one to open with. Look what I did to Abraham. Yeah? Look what I can do to you. Then he goes, Isaac. And Isaac, being the product of Abraham's faith, in being the first, his son, who all of what God was promising Abraham came through Isaac. Well, there you go. God, you're getting even better here. This is great. And then he says, Jacob. Now, forget me if I'm wrong, but when I read back on Genesis 32, God gave Jacob a new name. He called him Israel. Thought he had done away with Jacob. Thought he'd got rid of that all that deceiver liar stuff. Jacob was stepping into a new place. Well, I think there's two things that God does here. Two things he's doing. One is he's saying, I'm not just the God of the successors. I'm not just the God of those that are perfect or seem to have gotten things right or I've used, but I'm the God of the imperfect too. And what would have spoken more to Moses, him saying, I'm the God of Abraham or I'm the God of Jacob? Well, Moses, if we know about Moses, had a bit of a colorful life up until that point. I mean, he killed someone. He was on the run. He had a bit of a messed up life. And in God declaring to him, I am the God of Jacob, Moses suddenly has a connection there. Well, maybe you can be my God too. Maybe you can be my God too. And I think that's the declaration God is making through this incredible story with the life of Jacob. And into all of us today, it's that he's the God of the mess ups. You don't have to be perfect. And actually, it is true he was renamed Israel. But I think there's a reason why God didn't use the word Israel. Because sometimes it's a process of change. Spiritual formation and growing, understanding who you are, doesn't happen overnight. It didn't for me. I had an encounter with God even way into my Christian journey that changed things for me. But it was a process of me relearning who I am in Christ. Understanding my identity. Being okay with the way he's made me. And the character he made me to be. And seeing strength in that, not weakness that everybody else saw. And actually knowing that God is the God of Jacob gives me a lot of reassurance that he can use me. And that when he says he has a plan and a purpose for your life, he genuinely means it. And you might disqualify yourself and say, well, my circumstances say otherwise. My life says otherwise. My mind is telling me otherwise. Well, God is telling you something completely different. God is telling you, I love you. I can use you. I'm not just the God of the perfect. Whatever experience you've had in your life, I can use you. And he didn't call him Israel because actually it's a process. It's the same with Simon Peter. He wasn't referred to. It's weird. In some of the books where you see Peter being referred to, he's sometimes called Simon and sometimes called Peter, and it's really confusing to read. It'd be way easier if they just said from that moment we're going to call him Peter, but maybe, just maybe, Peter had a process to go through still. And sometimes he was still Simon, sometimes he was still that person, and sometimes he was the Peter came out. But God is in a place where he wants us to understand who we are. He wants us to know who we truly are, because then we're open to him using us. We're not hiding. We're coming before him saying, I'm Jacob. That's who I am. I'm not pretending to be my brother Esau. I'm not pretending to be someone else. But God, this is who I am. And maybe there's been experiences in your life where perhaps you have tried to be honest with someone else. And maybe there's been judgment that's been cast your way, or they haven't responded the way that you would have liked. Maybe with the compassion that you needed, or the care you needed, or perhaps they gave you a look that made you thought they're judging you. Or I guess really the only opinion in the room that matters is God's. And that's the biggest lesson I've learned in my life. The only opinion that matters in the room is God's. So when it comes to the whole spiritual formation and learning the different spiritual gifts and these things that need to be in our life and be in our Christian journey that are vital building blocks to who we are, they need to sit on a foundation. And for me, that foundation is understanding, well, one, who Christ is. If we don't know what he's done for us and we don't know who he is, then it's a bit rocky, isn't it? And then the second is understanding who we are in context of that. See, for Jacob, that moment of wrestling, that moment of being abandoned, alone, stripped of all of the stuff he had built up over his life, and just left with him and God to sort it out, was powerful. Now, Jacob was left with a limp. He walked with a limp, the Bible tells us, from that moment on. And you kind of think, like, why? Why would God, like, leave that moment with him walking, like, debilitated with a cane or whatever it might have looked like? And I think it's because the struggles in our lives, they stay with us. See, every time Jacob would have had a limp, he would have got up to try and walk. What do you think he was thinking of? He probably wasn't thinking about his circumstances at the moment, but he was thinking about the lesson God taught him. He was thinking about the message of grace and love that was extended to him. That regardless of who he was or what he did, Jacob, I love you. And we all have scars that we carry with us from life, not just physical ones, but emotional ones. Maybe we have testimony out of that where God's done something. And there's key moments in my life that I remember clearly where God came in and did something. And for me, when I look back at those times, I don't look at the hurt and pain because I can see God at work in it. And I want to just provide an opportunity now for us to just pray. This is a deeply personal topic when you talk about identity and self, and no one else can do this for you other than yourself. No one else could have fought this fight. No one else could have wrestled God, but Jacob had to do it on his own. He had to abandon his stuff, his security blankets, his wealth, the false identities he'd picked up along the way, and he needed to just be Jacob. And so I wonder if we might just have a moment just to close our eyes. I'd love to be able to pray, and then I can hand over to Dan and see what happens. Or we can just pray. Yeah, Father God, I want to thank you that you're the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac. And Father, I especially thank you that you're the God of Jacob. That Father God, regardless of our circumstances, regardless of our life experience, regardless of what gifts we carry, you desire to use us. And that you love us enough to be able to say, I'm the God of Jacob. You're not afraid to be associated with us, Father God. In fact, that's what you want. That's what you died on the cross for. It's for relationship, Lord. And so I want to pray right now, Father God, that in any way that we've learnt a negative pattern that we cannot be honest with you, that we have to hide anything from you. Lord, I just want to break that now by your Spirit. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that in all of us, you would give us the freedom, the liberty, and the boldness that in our relationship with you, we would be able to be honest. That if need be, we will wrestle. Father God, we don't want to be living a destiny based on the labels that people give us. Just like Jacob. Living a life as the person that he was told he was, rather than the person he knew he was. So Lord Jesus, I pray right now that you would speak to each and every one of us about who you see us as. And for every negative word, for every label that comes up, every experience in our life that we start to imagine in our minds right now in this quiet moment, Lord, I pray that you would replace that with a message of value, a message of love, to say, you're my son, you're my daughter. Father God, for the labels in our life that, like Jacob, couldn't be overcome, Lord, I pray you break through like you did with Jacob. Use our circumstances. Use whatever's going on in our life, whatever we have waiting for us in this week ahead. Lord, we want you to break through. And Lord, we cling to you like Jacob did. We cling to you. Help us to cling to you and nothing else. Love you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Can we just show our appreciation to Martin?